they probably, during the school year, would be, you know, getting up, going to school, and then coming in. And at one point, we did have an afternoon chore of tending to some of the small animals up at what we call the horse barn, and that would be feeding them and watering them and this sort of thing. During the summers, I guess we did more with the, you know, helping with the gardening, the canning, popping beans and shelling butter beans and cutting off corn and freezing. You know, we did put up a lot of vegetables, yeah, which I still do here. Uh-huh. We have a garden, and the things I learned there, I'm still using, teaching my daughter, because she comes out and we're still working with the garden, because it seems to be the things we like to do. The one fun thing is to eat the veggies that you put up all winter.
But you ate them all winter, pretty much?
Many of the same things. But a typical day would be this sort of thing, and probably help it, you know, with, if there were people in for lunch, this sort of thing.
I was going to ask, after you talked about a regular routine and going to school and then coming home in the afternoons, mm-hmm. and then what about in the evening getting dinner?
I guess that we probably help with that. We probably have homework, this sort of thing.
One question I forgot to ask earlier, did your father do anything in the house?
No, he actually lets the other people do the housework. Uh-huh. It's not like it is now, where they can. Most everything was, when he came in, his lunch was there, you know, this sort of thing. They ate the big lunches in the middle of the day, too, which, you know, we don't do now. A lot of cooking. I can remember we cooked by wood, and then we went to, of course, the electric stove, but I can remember the wood. We never really were involved, but the getting the wood up was, you know, a big production, which usually the hired people did.
Uh-huh. Did hired people do some of the cooking, or did you know?
Well, you said there was people in the, I think they did some of the cooking, and mostly the housekeeping.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and your brothers, did they do any work in the house?
Probably not. I can't remember any good work.
But you and your sister did help out. Okay. When did you meet your husband?
I met Eddie in high school. When I was a junior, and he was a senior. And I guess we dated that year, late in the year, like in May or so. But he was the 3-star athlete, the president of the student body. I mean, he was the real catch, I think. And then when I was a senior in high school, he was a freshman at Carolina. Then we started really to date. We dated for about 7 years before we were, six or seven before we were married, because he was in school and I was.
Was dating different then than it is now, do you think?
Well, we did some of the same things, you know, the movies, the sort of thing, athletic events. Probably the same, but not as much going, I guess.
Uh-huh.
There just wasn't as much to do back in the 50s.
Do you think, were your parents very strict?
Had certain times to come in, but we were pretty free to, you know, to go to school, and if there were activities after school, then we participated in them.
And then you went to Virginia. Was that hard being a...
Well, in the meantime, he went to the Naval Academy, went to West Point, so we were all going in different directions, you know. But, and it was hard.
Yeah.
Hard time. But we would date whenever we would fly in. You know, to see each other during that time. When Well, he had, when he came out back in 1956-55, he needed to serve 2 years in the Army. That was expected. So we waited until he was to finish basic training, because I couldn't go and live with him. And so we planned the wedding for that February, so that, you know, he finished this. Meantime, he got orders to go to Alaska, but those got changed right before the wedding. We thought we would have to call the wedding off, but we finally did, and we spent 2 years at Fort Jackson down in Columbia, South Carolina, when we were first married. I worked as a secretary for the Dean of Men on the campus at the University of South Carolina, and then we came back to Chapel Hill after those 2 years.
And lived in town?
Lived in town.
And what did y'all do? Both of you, what did you do?
I worked at the med school, Department of Pathology, until I had Jenny, my first child. He was in the insurance business and then in the building business, and then he went into the savings and loan business. And we built a triplex when we first came back to Chapel Hill, and we lived in one area, one of the apartments, and we rented out for two, and then from there we sold that and went into a house. So that was kind of our start. Getting a house. Our first daughter was married, was born.
And
I had a degree in education somewhere in April or February or something, and I just didn't really want it. That's why I went, did this, then I would get into a job and like it, and so this is how.
Did you enjoy working in it?
Transcribed the doctor's comments on specimens that were sent in from all over the state. Sometimes we'd have the job of picking up the mail and taking them all out and labeling them and everything, which was kind of exciting in a way. Children.
Yeah.
Then Ed Jenny was born, and then Edward and Charles, and I had not worked, you know, since that time. And we lived in Chapel Hill 12 years, and we've been out here 16, I guess, 15 or 16.
Did you miss the time when you were in Chapel Hill?
Yeah, and we always thought that we would come out here. In the meantime, Mother died, and we really came out with the ideas of helping with Dad, whose sister had moved into the farmhouse care of him, or just help him, and then we had the opportunity to come out and live in her house, and with the idea of taking care of Dad, but Dad lived only 3 years, and actually he died before we really got moved out here, but this was kind of our plan.
Any involvement with the farm since you've come out here, other than just being near it?
Actually, the farm, the land was left to the five children, and for about 12 years I kept the books for this. I now have a brother-in-law who's doing it, mainly because I did it for so long. I also kept the books for another piece of property sold. It was jointly owned by 10 people. So actually that's been my part in the farm. The land that belongs to us is really being rented by my brother Bill.
Okay.
And we are paid so much for the rental of the acres in our house.
So the farm is left equally divided among
among the children.
Then there ended up being only one brother who was going to actually farm it.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Was there a problem with then it, what he did?
It has not been real easy working situation. We were at now in the process of trying to divide the land into 5 equal portions. Have been for several months.
Uh-huh.
We're still working.
Uh-huh.
Doing this. Several members of the family do want their particular portion. It's very hard to divide it.
Yeah. Does the farm use all of it?
Uh-huh. It's been using all of it. A lot of it's wooded. Mm-hmm. Probably about 300 acres of open land.
What did your brothers and sisters that want their pieces, what did they want to do with that?
Actually, they will probably just have this piece and go ahead and rent it to him. But this is just a matter of trying to simplify something before something happens to any of us, you know, and
right.
It's divided in even more pieces. I don't know, there may be one that may sell some of the property, but think most of the others will probably keep it. This is my brother's wife, the one that died, has an interest. He was very interested. He served in the legislature, state legislature, before his death. And then his wife went in to fill his seat, and she served for probably 3 sessions or so. Now she is a judge. One of the few, but not a lot of women judges. She's been very successful.
Well, I had something I thought of when you were talking about your brother and renting the land.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a problem for him to come up with the money to pay rent out of the farm?
So far, well, in some of the earlier years it was, but so far now it's been okay.
Were there any hard for him?
Well, sometimes it hasn't been really easy.
Uh-huh.
His wife does a lot of the farm work with him. She drives the combine, drives a big heavy tractor to help with the milk and this sort of thing. But she was a pharmacist, and when Daddy died and Bill was left to run the farm, she decided to help do this. One of my boys worked on the farm.
Oh, really?
And I guess when he was about 12 years old, he loved it.
Uh-huh.
He just absolutely thought that everything was wonderful. And so he did this as a young boy. He would get up at 4 o'clock and go down to milk. I used to get up and keep him a piece of toast, a glass of milk. And he did this for several summers.
Uh-huh.
And milk, and he'd do the work in the fields and hay and all these things. And there are also 3 nephews that did a lot that liked the farm and came back and would work in summers and times.
Did he ever want to come back and actually work for a living on the farm?
I'm not real sure. Well, the one is still talking about maybe doing some work on the farm.
Uh-huh.
When his mother gets her share.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not really sure what his decision is going to be.
But with each generation, it divides up more.
Uh-huh.
And then if you have
more complicated.
Can you?
And I don't know, you know, right now where Bill has 3 daughters. So there's not really, one of them worked with the farm, but mostly with the bookkeeping and this sort of thing for about a year. So I don't, we don't know where we are going as far as that's concerned. I had one son who thought there for a while that he might like to farm, but now he's graduated from UNC Charlotte with a degree in accounting and is working at Savings and Loan for his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty well, you know, maybe his spot. We'll just have to wait and see.
The girls, your brother's girls, don't
well,
think about it?
Well, One's living in Memphis, and two of them are close by, but I don't know that they're husbands, you know, and I don't know that they could do it without the support of the husband. So I don't know what's going to, the future's going to bring.
Because like you were saying, it really is a family business, mm-hmm. isn't it, with everybody picking?
It's a big project to run a farm.
Can you think now, looking back, of any easier way to affect the transfer of the farm over with that?
I don't know. I think it's the changing times. Fred, I see this all across the country.
Uh-huh.
We have a farm next door that there's a son that's, you know, probably will continue the operation. But right now, the whole family is working.
Uh-huh.
The farm, the wife, and her daughters, and the son, and his wife are doing the milking and doing a lot of the keeping it going.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going to bring. I hope we'll be able to continue to keep the fields in production.
Uh-huh.
Some of it's in our forest. It's been planted in timber. So this is something that, you know, somebody will have down the road, 20 years down the road, is income. Taxes are high on the land. You know, you have to get save some kind of income to offset the costs.
What do you think it is about the changing times that's harder to...
Farm work is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even people, they like, it's 24-hour a day work.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something going wrong. You know, there's, if you have cows, there's a cow delivering a calf in the middle of the night, or there's, it's just constant. They are hard-working people,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think people have that dedication.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people want, there are other things that are easier and that they can make more money. Because
mm-hmm.
the farmers really are not making the kinds of money. The weather, for example, it's just really devastated these people out here. And I'm sure they're going to have trouble with having enough food for their animals. And it's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're your own boss, but nevertheless, it's so demanding. They have very few vacations and very few times that they can get away and leave it all.
Do you think all this matters more in these times, like in the 80s, than it would have, say, before the 20s or something, when there were less things to buy, less places
right.
to go?
It's probably contributed a lot to it. And Bill will continue to farm as far as, you know, he's had some health problems,
mm-hmm.
but it's as long as he's able to. But then what the next step is, I don't know.
Well, how do you think the Cane Creek, the controversy, the dam, all that, did that sort of meet these changes that your family's going through and trying to decide who's going to have the farm and everything? Did those intertwine?
Well, actually, we couldn't do anything towards selling, you know, the estate until we knew that eventually, probably, this thing was hanging over our head, you know,
right.
for 7-8 years.
Right.
So until that land was sold, see, we didn't know what was going to be left. So that
uh-huh.
has held up what we decided to do. And, of course, our family bought this project. We did
right.
not want to give up the land. I guess perhaps I worked as hard as any of them with the doing crafts and cooking barbecue and doing all the money raising things and served on that executive committee for a while, which was very difficult because I was on that and then Eddie was appointed on the OWASA board.
Wow.
And that made us strangers to a lot of people because of... And then the Stanfords actually were the first family to have the big portion to finally sell,
uh-huh.
and then that created problems within the community. But, you know, we went to the point where we felt like we had to, you know, it was either that or go to court.
Uh-huh.
And everybody advised us not to do that.
not to go to court?
No, because but you just can't. You know, you will not get as much money. Why, if you're going to have to give it up, you might as well try to do the best you can.
So were you pretty convinced that in the end you were going to lose
that? That's right. We would have never given up had we not really realized that it was the end was right around the corner. And, you know, I'm not still not happy about it, and I guess I fought as hard as any of us in the family.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a point where you have to work within a family. You've got, you know, five people.
But if there had never been a Cane Creek Reservoir, your family wouldn't have had problems dividing up the farm?
Well, probably. I think it might be hard anyway when you try to take a parcel of land and people get what they want and satisfied that they are getting a deal.
Uh-huh. So you think it would be hard either way?
Either way.
Well, so the position in the community was strained for a while there.
But I don't know. I just felt like I had done the best that I could, you know, and if people want to think what they can, you know. I don't feel this, you know. I don't let myself feel it. So,
how has that sort of passed over?
It's passed over.
Has it?
We have one family here that the tears have not. They're the only people that have not sold.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, you know, whether that's close or.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little bit of a strain having it on the Wassa board. It still is. But he is good, and he represents a point of view that we would not have were he not on it.
How do you feel about that, the struggle between Cane Creek and Owosso?
In a way, I'm bitter a little bit, but I've gone past that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm thrown with the Owosso people, you know.
Right.
I just have to go ahead, you know. I can't.
Do you agree with their position?
Well, I still hate to give up the land. I realize that the community needs water.
Yeah.
And, but the idea of the bulldozers coming in and doing away with the tree still is going to hurt.
Yeah.
It's just really. You know, when they land back there behind the farmhouse. But, you know, I'm going to have a hard time. There's just no doubt about it. It's going to be a very sad time.
Do you think it has been different to them?
Well, other than go to the Jordan, you know,
yeah.
If they've given up.
Yeah.
Do
you think it's
but there's definitely, with the community growing as fast as it's growing, they've got to have water. And perhaps this is the best source, but, you know, it's a shame for the land to go underwater. Once it's underwater, there, it's gone forever. And we don't have, I hate for us to do away with so many pretty spots. You know? I mean, there are roads and developments. And I'm sentimental about the creek, about playing it, about what it looks like. It's like a picture in my mind. I guess I'll always have that.
Yeah. Are there times when you just have to tell Chapel Hill, your growth is your problem, leave us alone?
But I think 7 or 8 years taught us that we can't, you know, we can't always have our way.
Yeah.
At one point, I thought we had a chance at some of the hearings that we went to. I thought, you know, we were going to be able to save it. And then it just one court battle after another.
Right.
You know, you get slapped down.
Yeah.
So, we went over to when they were building the other one, and you know, you get to see the total destruction. Did the best you could, and you can't suit everybody, you know, you have to, it reached the point where we felt like we had to make a settlement.
Uh-huh. And your farm will be able to continue on operation. It will it be smaller?
Well, we lost like 200 acres or something.
So.
And that they are, well, the dairy operation is closed down. But he does have some animals.
Uh-huh.
And they're small.
And the crops.
And the crops.
So that's what it's going on now. And you, as you said, you just wait and see if what happens after.
That's right.
After the farm. I'm just one other question. I guess, are your best friends out here in this community?
I guess. Probably the people that we're part of the church, and I guess that's
mm-hmm.
our community here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my best friends are my children and my husband, really. My daughter is a nurse. You know, I might be interested in
her. Yeah.
She's an RN at Memorial Hospital, graduated in China. And is going back for a master's program. Beginning, well, she's done some courses. She'd be picking up couple of courses in the spring and then hopes to go back full time in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And the children would eventually like to build out here. I think they want to come back here to live in the Chapel Hill area.
Uh-huh.
This is what they say.
Uh-huh.
But I never went back to work mainly because I felt needed at home, and I've had a lot of interest, and I've done volunteer work in the schools and this sort of thing. And there was always, when we were out in the country, I wanted the children to do the things they wanted to do. If they wanted to belong to band, if they belonged to the drama club or scouts or dancing or horseback riding or something, I wanted to be available to scouts, the church groups, to be able to let them do this. You know? So it really never came a good point, you know, where I felt like that I wasn't needed.
Uh-huh. And
now I guess I could launch on something, but my husband and I are doing some traveling.
Uh-huh.
So I'm contented.
Yeah.
Well, the church, really.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Sunday school class there. I'm doing the choir work.
Right.
I'm interested in crafts. I belong to a craft group out this area.
Oh.
Out this area. And mainly just interested in, well, I'd have my garden, not only my flower garden, but the vegetable garden that keeps me busy in the summers.
Yeah.
I seem to have plenty to do.
Yes.
And we have had a couple of good trips. If I were working, I would not be able to travel with Eddie on these business trips.
Well,
this
you
I like. This
working.
I like, you know. It gives us a sort of freedom. This is the first year we've been without anybody in the house. It's been nice. And I didn't have the empty nest syndrome, I don't think. But Jenny will come out an afternoon, usually a day during the week. There's just seems to be lots to do. I may find a time that I don't have a lot to do, but I do a lot of reading.